teachers.
That's exactly right.
Troy, if you could get the sign-in sheets, please.
Did I scare you with the voice from above?
Yes.
Whenever you're ready, Chairman.
You never think it's your time.
We're just glad to have Jessica back. Oh, yeah, that was fun last one.
I guess I could have left my microphone on.
I want to ask. No more coffee for him. Yeah, I'll tell you that much. Okay. Then we'll go ahead and bring to order the regular Planning and Zoning Commission meeting for Tuesday, April 21st, or I'm sorry, 25th, 2023. Start with roll call.
Chairman Lee Young.
Present.
Vice Chairman Dana Hennis.
Present.
Commissioner Jenny Greger.
Present.
Commissioner Jim Main.
Present.
And then first up is our consent agenda.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Then, first up, under public hearings, we have this continued from April 11th, 2023. It's case number 22-15-AN. It's an annexation for Rising Sun West.
Good evening, commissioners. For the record, Troy B. Hunan, senior planner, CUNA Planning and Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street here in CUNA, Planning and Zoning Department. So the application before you this evening is for annexation only, annexation into the city of CUNA, and they are seeking the approval in order to bring approximately 42.02 acres into the city of CUNA and applying or using the C1 neighborhood district, neighborhood commercial zone. Public Works does conditionally support the Rising Sun West annexation with a condition that future development applications shall not be submitted until adequate sewer capacity is available. The Planning and Zoning Department agrees with Public Works recommendations and supports it. Staff has reviewed the proposed annexation and found that it is in compliance with CUNA City Code, Idaho State Statutes, the CUNA Comprehensive Plan, the CUNA Comprehensive Future Land Use Map, and should the Commission recommend approval of the annexation to the City Council, staff recommends that the applicant be subject to the proposed recommended conditions of approval as outlined in the staff report. I don't see the applicant, but they did have a presentation, so I don't know why they're not here. I'm guessing it has to do with traffic, maybe.
There is an accident.
Oh, or an accident. Thank you, Daniel.
Okay. Do.
And Wendy.
Do we want to move this down the agenda?
Or? It's up to the commission. If that's what you'd like to do and provide them a little more time, we have other things on the agenda that can also take place.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay. Then motion to shift us down the agenda.
You already got there. You don't need me.
Is that far enough? Okay. Didn't know how formal I had to get there. So then moving down, next on the agenda is case number 23-05-SUP for special use permit. for fitness classes in home. And this one's Jessica.
Good evening, commissioners. For the record, Associate Planner Jessica Reed, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA. The applicants request special use permit approval to operate a home occupation business within a detached shop, which offers fitness classes Monday through Saturday. CUNA City Code requires any home occupation operated within a detached structure to acquire a special use permit. The approximately 3,480 square foot detached shop has been issued a building permit but has not yet received its certificate of occupancy. The portion of the shop that is to be used for the home occupation is approximately 1,000 square feet and is separated from the main shop area by a wall. The applicants have also provided off-street parking for future patrons. Staff notes that per CUNA City Code 554K, and to be considered a valid home occupation business, despite the special use permit request, only 10 vehicle trips to and from the premises may be generated per day. Not more than one person other than members of the family which reside on premises may be hired, and it cannot be operated in such a way as to create a nuisance to neighboring residents. Upon review, staff finds this request to follow CUNA City Code Title V, the Comprehensive Plan, and Idaho Code 67-6512. And should the commission approve this request, staff requests the applicant be subject to the conditions listed in Section 9 of the staff report. And I can answer any questions you have, and our applicant is here.
Okay. Any questions for Jessica at this time?
No.
Okay. Then we have the applicant please come forward and state your name and address for the record and tell us what you want to do.
You can drive with that mouse right there.
And then push the red button till it's green. Just tap it. There you go.
Hey there, can you hear me? Okay. Good evening, commissioners. For the record, my name is Addison Kaufelt. My address is 1475 West Firehouse Lane, CUNA, Idaho, 83642. I am the applicant and the property owner of the subject property. I'm standing before you to request a special use permit to conduct an in-home fitness classes on my R2 low density residential property. The subject property is approximately 2.8 acres in size, and the adjacent 0.9 acres to the west is currently under the same ownership. The fitness classes would take place within a detached shop structure located more than 150 feet away from any other adjacent residential structure. The proposed use would be consistent with the low-density rural area, as there's several properties that operate in-home businesses in a rural airport, the Ashley Airport, located to the east. A neighborhood meeting was conducted in compliance with City of CUNA code. The notice went out on March 2nd and the meeting was held on site on March 14th. The meeting had two attendees, both of which were adjacent neighbors located to the south on Linder Road. The two attendees communicated that they were in favor of the proposed use with a single request to keep garage doors closed in early morning hours to limit noise. The subject property is accessed by a private lane called Firehouse Lane that is shared by two other private property owners. Various conversations occurred with both private property owners to discuss the proposed use, timing, and parking allocation. I have since obtained written confirmation that both properties are in favor of the use, with the acknowledgement that one private property owner requested off-street parking to remain available for future attendees, which we are more than amenable to, as suggested by the conceptual off-street parking plan that was provided in the application. Regarding proposed operations, class times would be limited, as would class sizes. As expressed in the application narrative, the class times would be determined by the availability of the property owners who will act as primary instructors. Class sizes would be determined by available equipment, which currently can only accommodate 5 to 10 people per class. The facility will remain as instructor-led and supervised. Classes will be 1 hour in duration, and class times will be specified as facility will only remain open during those times. Accommodations will be made for people of all ages and abilities. It is our intention to create a space for various participants and families to participate in activity together. As displayed by the photo of the proposed facility, there is plenty of open space available to accommodate for off-street parking. Thank you for your time and consideration. I'm happy to stand for any questions.
Okay. I guess, have you read staff's comments and staff's recommendation?
I do understand the staff recommendations, yes, and we're willing to accept all.
Okay. Any?
I don't have any
other questions at this time.
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Then we'll go ahead and open that public testimony at 6:11. I don't see anybody else signed in to testify. Is there anybody else here that would like to? Okay, if you would please just come forward here and sign in here. Is there anybody else? Okay. And then just step up to the podium and state your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Charles Eldridge. I live at 1485 North Thistle Drive, currently here in CUNA. We purchased a lot from the Kofelts where we're building a home. We have that home half built. I'm not sure if you guys got my letter that I put in the packet or had it submitted. It basically explains most of the things I wanted to talk about. But originally, we were not opposed to this facility, but after discussions with Mr. Kofelt, found that the intention was to have 10 people per class to make it profitable three times per day, which is different than what is proposed here in the application. After hearing that, I was concerned, and that was after I wrote the letter indicating that I was in favor. So we went back to the drawing board and attempted to negotiate a little bit with Mr. Kofelt about the lane not being paved and the asphalt. We were going to split that three ways. This changes that due to the additional cost of, well, it's about $30,000 to do the pavement, and we were going to split that accordingly based on road trips. But Ada County Highway District basically puts a road trip nine road trips per resident, and that would add about 30 road trips per resident. So we approached Mr. Kofelt with the intention to revise that maintenance and operations agreement for the road. They were unwilling at that time to do that. And so here I am. The zoning I don't agree with. It's a three-person road, and with 10 cars getting out at one time on the Linder Road, it's going to be very difficult to get out of my driveway. It's not a real ideal place for this type of business. If it were small and didn't have the intention or the I think it will do well if it were approved, but that means I get an extra 30 vehicle trips per day. That's like three houses additional. So that's our main concern. Second concern is just the the traffic getting out onto Linder. Sometimes that backs up considerably during certain times of the day, and depends on when these classes are going in and out. And, so, anyways, those are my concerns, and that's why I would ask that we be able to that you deny this application. I guess is my hope and expectation. Just because it leads to, as I said, devaluing of the properties around it. And when we purchased the land here about a year ago, we were not disclosed anything about a CrossFit gym being put in, and it's a 3,000 square foot facility. It's got the potential to have, in my discussions with Mr. Kofelt, some good traction.
That was the limit timer for presenting. So
yeah, you bet.
Okay, thank you.
I'll stand for questions if you have any.
Okay. Are there any questions?
No.
No, I'm good for now.
Thank you.
Thanks. We'll ask if the applicant would come back up.
Hey there. For the record, Addison Kofelt, 1475 West Firehouse Lane.
And I guess in response to his concerns about extra vehicles, and that in the staff report, it limits up to 10 car trips per day. So that would be like 10 clients a day in that 24-hour period.
Right. We often find that in the group sessions that we do, many times clients don't just come individually or on their own. So we encourage families to come together. So it would be our hope that car trips would be limited that way as well.
So how many people are you anticipating in a class?
Five. We can't accommodate 10. More than 5 to 10.
Okay. Any other questions for the applicant?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
Okay. Then we'll close the public testimony at 6:18, which brings up our discussion. On the face, it seemed pretty straightforward, but
yeah, I thought this was going to be a little easier.
I guess initial concern would be, well, I guess if they're, I have to look back at the staff, if they're limited to 10 people in a class and they can only have 10 car trips, well, I guess that's 10 per class, but 10 car trips. I guess if you end up with three classes, it could be, that's exceeding to me the number of car trips for a residential business. I can see 10 car trips, but not having, 30, 50 people in a house or on a residential property doing business, that kind of, to me, takes it out of the realm of a residential business. Especially on a private lane.
Right.
I don't know what your thoughts are.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree. I mean, if they're limited to no more than 10 per day for a home occupation business, then I'm not sure how that's going to comply if they're doing three classes a day of up to 10 people.
Yeah. Well, that just seems heavy for a residence. I know, you know, when we do special uses for childcare, there's that number of cars, but they'll come in the morning, and then that's it until, you know, nighttime, or they come in trickling in through the day instead of all that many people in the house all at once, or multiple times in a day flushing in and out. So that seemed a little... But.
Well, I think on the special use, as far as the use goes, I don't see an issue with that. And if we choose to limit the amount of trips to 10 trips per day, I don't know how we can limit the amount of trips per class. If it's 10 trips per day, if it's three classes, that's three trips per class.
Yeah, that is also in the recommendations from staff as well. I think it's code too, is what Jessica read. So I think the biggest thing is that the applicant understands that the restrictions on the cars and the number of people in a day, because, you know, the special use permit's there, but if something happens and then all of a sudden it goes crazy, the city can take the special use away. But I guess looking at the conditions in the staff report, you know, it lists it talks about the trips, you know, the number of trips per day. That's total car trips. And it's for physical fitness. There's no daycare use allowed. So,
well,
this is the...
Yeah, I agree. I think if this is basically, you know, based on the special use permits and the requirements of that and the home occupation business per city code, then it's up to the owner to take those trips down to what they're supposed to be. As a whole, I don't see a problem with the use, but I kind of agree with the neighbor. They didn't sign up for having a small business down there, their little private lane, so... I mean, I'm okay with it per the conditions, and the applicant has reiterated that as well. So I think it's up to them to make sure how that is complied with.
Mr. Young, is it possible I'm part of that neighborhood? Is it possible for me to ask any questions as well?
Actually, I already closed the public testimony as part of the procedure, so... Sorry. I don't know. I think if they could comply with what's in the staff report and the conditions as listed, I mean, if they go out of compliance, it's understood that any special use permit could potentially go away. So. Any other thoughts? Or?
No, I agree with that.
I mean, the stipulations are in here. They have to abide by that.
Yeah.
So if we approve the special use permits based on those conditions, if they go beyond that, then it's got to be dealt with. But we can give them the opportunity to comply and have a successful business, then that's fine with me.
Okay. No other.
No, I think I questions. Agree with Dana.
Okay.
Then, Mr. Chairman, I move we approve 23-05-SUP special use permit for fitness classes at 1475 West Firehouse Lane,
with the conditions as outlined in the staff report.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Then.
Finish off with C and get that tabled.
Yeah, let's do that real quick. It's next up was case number 22-11-AN, annexation for Swanson and Weeks. And staff has requested that this item be tabled to a date certain of May 23rd, 2023, pending corrected site posting.
Anything to add, staff?
Nope.
Okay. Then, Mr. Chairman, I move we table 22-11-AN annexation for Swanson and Weeks until the next, well, the date certain of May 23rd, 2023 for the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Then we'll go back up to the top of the public hearing list, and we have, we'll go ahead and call case number 22-15-AN for annexation for Rising Sun West.
And thank you, Commissioners. Just for the record, Troy B. Hunan, 751 West 4th Street, Senior Planner, CUNA Planning and Zoning Department. So the applicant is here tonight, or is here now, and looks like traffic worked a little bit of magic for him. So just a reminder, this is for annexation only. That's the only application to be discussed this evening.
Okay. And so if we'll have the applicant come forward and state your name and address for the
staff
record.
Report. You did, and I'm sure it was spectacular. Mark Tate. Excuse me. For the record, what's that? I'll charge power through here. 1673 West Shoreline Drive, Suite 200, Boise, Idaho 83702. And I apologize for being late. I should have left earlier knowing that somebody would crash on the connector. Let's see, there should be some PowerPoint slides in here. No PowerPoint slides?
My apologies, Mark.
That's okay.
I clicked the wrong link.
I like the cute baby picture. We could just leave that one up there.
There we go.
Awesome. All right. Okay. So the property that we're here to talk about tonight, it's a really exciting opportunity. It's a largish property at about 40 acres. We actually had filed for a preliminary plat on this probably over a year ago now, it feels like. It feels like longer than that, but we'll call it a year to 2 years. At that time, CUNA, along with the transportation agencies, said, we really want to look at that CUNA curve and Meridian Road. And it had been studied and studied over the years as far as how access was going to work down to South CUNA. And everybody understands that it's an incredibly important life safety thing, access thing for CUNA to be able to have an access south of Indian Creek. This was one of the alternatives, along with 10 Mile, as kind of the two leaders in the clubhouse. They wanted to, as part of this process, study it more thoroughly And I'm not sure how much of it has come before PNZ, but I know City Council has had a number of presentations on the progress of a process kind of led by the City of CUNA, along with ITD and ACHD. My understanding at this point is that the Meridian Road crossing of Indian Creek is now the only crossing being considered, that they're moving forward with a design phase of this project, an environmental study and design, not full construction drawings, but a partial that would allow them then to be able to go for federal grant dollars, ITD funding, different options. That study, I believe, is supposed to be concluded around the end of this year. So in the meantime, what we wanted to do was not completely sit around and wait for the wheels of transportation planning to take their course, but to at least move forward with an annexation of the property, which can at least let us go out and start talking to potential commercial users for this site. It's an incredible location. What will be kind of the main access to South CUNA in the future. It's ITD has indicated that Meridian Road as an extension south would actually be a state highway all the way down to King Road, where that next phase would terminate, and it would also include a grade separated crossing of the railroad tracks. This property is also adjacent to another project that we've developed, which is the Indian Creek Ranch community that we're very proud of. It's a lovely subdivision there that we've also been able to build some parks right along the creek there. This is a layout of that community. You can see the parks. It's actually one long park with two large nodes, one along Strobel and one over here. When this project was originally approved, it had residential lots over here and no park over here, and we were able to work with the City of CUNA Parks Department and staff to design what we think is a really great park. I understand there might be a name to be announced here pretty soon for that park and a grand opening coming in May. So that park is essentially completed. The parking lot is in. We're real excited to grand open it for this spring, if spring ever comes, and let people get in there and start floating. Couple of photos. This is the west side, actually, that overlooks Indian Creek. There's a bend down in this area, and this is looking at the property to be annexed from that little park right there. And one exciting thing that we can do with this adjacent project at some point down the line when we come in with an actual development application would be to expand that city park in that location. So we'd be able to expand the city park and extend the pathway system, which is going along Indian Creek currently, and then bring it up here and bring it up to Avalon, tie it in up here to CUNA Road, and bring it hopefully over to the west at some point to tie back into the pathway over here, the Parks Department buildings down in that corner. The property in the comp plan, which I'm sure Troy thoroughly and eloquently covered, is shown as commercial and mixed use. That is what we're proposing on the property. That would be outlined in a development agreement that spells out, you know, exactly how the mix of uses would work. We were looking for something very flexible in the zoning to be able to market it to, you know, larger commercial applications. There's a lot of things that we've discussed with some of the economic development folks that CUNA is really in need of out there. This property is also adjacent to the existing urban renewal district, which doesn't have any sort of political issues, thank goodness, too soon. So there's some really exciting opportunities there to really focus on uses that can serve the City of CUNA, that CUNA wants to see there, that's adjacent to downtown, that's adjacent to open space, parks, trails, walkable. So we're just really excited to at least take a baby step forward. We know it's just an annexation application, so we don't have a definitive layout or plan to show you. This is included as an example of, you know, sort of a bubble plan of a mixed use layout that would fall within the parameters that could include some commercial, some higher density residential, some medium density residential, and an expansion of that open space with some pathways and buffers. That doesn't mean that this, you know, is the plan. It's just basically an example of, you know, we can see some commercial and residential mixes there, and I think it'll be a great asset for CUNA. And with that, I would stand for any questions.
Are there any questions for the applicant at this time?
No. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Then we'll go ahead and open up the public testimony at 6:36. And first I have listed Rebecca Simmons. If you just come up, state your name and address for the record, please.
Okay. My name is Rebecca Simmons, and I live at 2035 East Thea Drive. So I live in Indian Creek Ranch. And the same, I don't know how you get there, but the drawing that you have, we live on Thea Drive. And when we were the second people to put money down on a lot in this area. And when we did, we went down to the planning department because it was very obvious that Thea Drive was going to go through. And looked, and there was an extension of the housing. And he told us that there was a possibility of Meridian going across the river. So we knew this. But we didn't, in this drawing that was put up, Thea Drive is becoming a thoroughfare, which we are not very happy about. Right now, the park that's on the east side, you park to float the river off of Strobel. That's how you get in there, is on Strobel. Well, if you do this drawing, you will come off of not only Meridian straight through on Thea Drive all the way down to the parking lot, and you'd have to go back out on the Strobel to get to the parking lot, is that will increase the traffic through our development. There is a pool there. There's children that live in the area. We are concerned that our development is turning into a thoroughfare. It's not that we are against adding, you know, some more, even commercial, but it would be nice if we had, if our development was, didn't have a road straight through it, so that the commercial people could use that as a bypass over to Strobel. We are concerned about the traffic and what it would do to the values of our homes. Any questions?
Any questions at this time?
No. Thank you. Uh-huh.
All right. And next I have listed Sue. I'm going to say it wrong. Seth? She knows who I'm talking about. Sakai, thank you.
Can you hear me? So my name is Sue Sakai, and I live at 1913 East Marisol. I'm also a resident of Indian Creek, and we were one of the first residents in there. And we were excited about it because it seemed to be a private community. And I have the same concerns. We have the same concerns about the additional traffic, what that's going to do to just, you know, right now we feel like we are in a private neighborhood, and really concerned about with the commercial, how many people that's going to bring, and the traffic. Meridian's already a dangerous road, and just, you know, we just really concerned about the traffic coming through our neighborhood.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. next that I have marked in here to testify is Robbie Reno.
Robbie Reno, CUNA School District, 711 East Porter Street, CUNA, Idaho, 83634. Our stance on this as this district is we support commercial. We really do. But where this is such a keystone piece because it encompasses the curve, which will straighten out to go to our, allow us better access and easier access for our buses to go to our 100 acres that we have over there. That's not planned out. And so having a plan before that road is developed, we're concerned with that. And then also, too, the amount of, there will be residents on this. You know, it's a 42-acre plot. Some of the drawings we've seen is, you know, half commercial, half residential. We don't, R20, R6, R8, we don't know fully how many people this will bring. Where annexation, you know, is the first stepping stone to then what, you know, you can change the zoning after it's annexed. And so we're concerned that we're at C1 right now, but the annex will change to, you know, an R20 and R6, and then without the proper notification before the road goes through properly. And so just a lot of unknown questions before us. You know, it's just, I think, the cart before the horse on this one, before the road's planned out. And then, you know, how many residential is truly going to be in there is our questions. So thank you.
Thank you. And I do not see anybody else listed to testify. Is there anybody else here who has not signed in or marked not to testify that wanted to on this application? Okay, seeing none, then have the applicant come back up, please.
Good evening. Mark Tate again for the record. And appreciate the concerns of the neighbors, and I can definitely understand the concern about the street stub that is located there. I do know that, you know, street connectivity is a requirement of development. We see the conditions all the time that, you know, ACHD wants and CUNA wants to see streets connect. You know, the flip side of that is potential pass-through traffic. We don't have a defined layout exactly. I know there's one concept that showed a connection out to Meridian Road. All of that is sort of yet to be seen until we have a really definitive development application that would show, you know, whether or not there would be a street connection there, how the access on Meridian Road would work. And spacing between those accesses and the intersection. So we don't have all of that information today and know that that will be subject of a future application for the actual development, not just the annexation. But I definitely do understand their concern, and we will, or somebody will have to come back with an application that would show exactly how that connection would work or not work. You know, and depending on what it is, you know, if it really is truly commercial or all commercial on that east side of it, then there might not be any reason for anything, you know, for a street stub to be there at all, and it could turn into like an emergency access or something like that. So there's a lot of opportunities still there on the table depending on, you know, what actually comes forward for that development. And also can understand Mr. Reno's questions about, you know, exactly what is it going to be, how much residential, commercial, you know, in theory it could be all commercial. It could be, you know, half and half. We don't have a good answer for that today. You know, a lot of that is going to depend on what does happen with that Meridian Road intersection. And believe me, nobody wants to know what's going to happen there more than I do. We've been kind of waiting for this for almost 2 years now, trying to figure out what can we do with the property I think this is a good baby step forward right now, and we know that we'll have to come back with a development application in the future. So that's all I have.
Okay. Any other questions for the applicant at this time?
No. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Then I'll close the public testimony at 6:45, which comes back to our discussion.
Well, I agree with all of the concerns on traffic throughout Indian Creek subdivision. At this point, we're just looking at an annexation of the property, and we have no idea what ITD is planning at this point. So far, I think that Mr. Tate's been fairly good to work with in addressing issues that arise with neighbors. So at this point, I think the annexation is fine, but we need to make sure that when we get down to the plats and we have what ITD's plan is, that we take a more serious look at it and, you know, maybe request that M3 and the neighbors, you know, interact on that to address their concerns.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I've got concerns about this whole area here. I mean, kind of like what they're proposing. I know something has to be done there. You know, with Meridian extending over, of course, I'm not quite sure where Meridian's going to go on the other side. It's just going to drop right to King. So I'm not sure there's going to be a heck of a lot of traffic on that side. But I don't like the idea of it going onto Thea place either. I think that's a bad option. And I can see that one being a real problem. So I think we need to be heads up on that. There's just a lot of proposed residential in this area, and I got some real concerns with some of our development coming in when we don't have school capacity. We don't have a lot of the things we need, so we're going to have to take a real critical look at what's provided. Commercial, yes. I mean, I can see that. We have needs for that. We have needs for the traffic control in this area. And love what they've done with the project over at Indian Ranch. I mean, what they provided for the general public, for the park and the amphitheater and everything else has been tremendous. So I appreciate working with them. And that's where I don't really doubt we're going to have a good amount of input and help from them to solve some of these issues. But I'm still concerned with our growth and no schools. I'm really beginning to be concerned. Yeah.
Well, I agree with a lot of what you're saying, but again, it's just the annexation out of C1. A preliminary plat can definitely be heavily scrutinized, and you know, it's that property has just screamed commercial since I moved out here over 20 years ago. It's just those four corners, that's what it's been in the comp plan forever. If you know, when ITD extends that over Meridian, I think that it's going to be awesome. It'll have that other transition south that everybody's desperately needed on the south side of the creek for a long time, emergency services and residents alike.
But it's going to redirect a lot of traffic.
And, you know, if, again, not knowing, you know, true ratios, and nobody does until someone can sell a concept, but I can see a potential for residential in there just because there's a 90-acre school site just to the northeast of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So in the future, and you know, we know the pace of ITD, so this could be a ways down in the future. But I don't have any issues with the annexation as it is. And, you know, I know this is just a conceptual, you know, here's something, but they don't know what it is.
How much input do we have on how much of that C1 can become residential, though? If we allow it to come in, right now, the annexation is where we say yay or nay. That's the ability that we have at P&Z to say whether it's a good project or not. After that, we have a limited capacity as to how much we can define in that zone. We've had this issue before. So I'm concerned with what happens. You know, if they come in with 75% commercial, that's fine. That's one thing. If they come in with 75% R20, that's a problem.
Well.
So how much control do we have?
Well, right now it's just an annexation at a C1.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
Which is just
in the ordinance, if we've got ability to limit.
Oh. Specific verbiage in the ordinance. I'll defer to staff.
So they are just, so for the record, Troy B. Hunan, Senior Planner, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA Planning and Zoning Department. So the application is for C1 for the entire 42 acres. Mm-hmm. If the applicant wishes to come back and propose any kind of development, they have to come back through a public hearing process just like this. And if there's something counter to the C1 zone, they either have to apply for a rezone of the property, which would hand over the authority of how much rezoning they would get or how much they would be allowed, or the applicant could come through with a planned unit development, which is basically a... It's a tool for flexibility, which combined with a development agreement or something else, then that would offer some flexibility. But again, there's limitations. With the PUD, the planned unit development, there is a 30% cap for something that does not comport with the underlying zoning.
Okay, that was my question. It's just what kind of percentage... Coming in as a C1 means that they can do a multi-use, which is can be high-density residential. So not with a C1?
It's not just a C1. With the PUD, they would have to apply the PUD flexibility, which would allow certain limitations, yes. Okay. But that's only with a PUD. That is a public hearing in front of this body. It is a public hearing in front of the city council. And... that is where the limits could be placed. It's up to 30%. It is not a guaranteed 30%.
Okay. That's mainly what I wanted to know. I don't remember the specifics on that one, and the general public here also doesn't know.
Sure.
So that's what I was trying to get a clarification, because right now on that little picture that a couple of people were holding up, there's a lot of stated residential, commercial or residential on there, good three-quarters of it. So that's what I kind of wanted to get an idea of what's realistic, what
so
we're facing.
The PUD would be in tandem with either a rezone or a PUD and a development agreement. There's at least two different mechanisms that they could use. But again, everybody that's here tonight will be notified again. There will be an opportunity at least two more times in addition to the annexation. So
right.
Whatever your recommendation is to City Council, the public will have another chance to talk and share their opinion with the annexation in front of City Council. Then whatever happens in the future, if it's this applicant or another applicant, providing that it does get approved, if it gets approved, somebody else or this applicant could bring another application forward, then we would start it all over again. Public hearing with City the commission, and then another public hearing with the city council.
Okay. Thank you.
That couldn't have said all that.
Well, and that was kind of my question, because right now, like I said, is you got commercial or R20, commercial or R20, or R12, and commercial or R12 over here and up there. And I didn't think there was that ability to do that much, but I was concerned.
No, understandably. Okay.
So I feel better about just the annexation with all the future plans that have to be presented first.
Well, I think that what Mr. Tate is looking at is once this is annexed, they can actually start talking to possible facilities that would want to move into this. So until they can bring in some commercial people, you know, it's really going to, it's not going to get laid out in the way it's going to end up. So, you know, I don't see a problem with annexing into the, annexing with a C1, knowing that we've got several more public hearings to go before we get to a final stage.
I think I agree with that. There's several things that were said. I think I'm okay with the annexation with something down the road making sense once we know what ITD. I live on the other side of the tracks. I'm not really thrilled about a bridge coming across because that'll bring growth, and King Road already has a ton of traffic, but I'm figuring I won't be there when that happens.
I hear you.
So, you know, I would rather that we keep that open because we need it, the corridor and a bridge eventually in somebody's lifetime. So I'm okay with the annexation.
Any more questions or thoughts?
No, I think I've had enough. Question. Yeah. Yeah, in that case, Mr. Chairman, I move we recommend approval of the annexation, case number 22-15-AN for Rising Sun West, with the conditions as outlined in the staff report.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Motion carried.
Thank you.
So then our next item under business items. We have case number 23-06-DR, design review for the Arctic Circle Play Zone, and that's Jessica.
Hello again, commissioners. For the record, Associate Planner Jessica Reed, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA. Applicants request design review approval to enclose the existing outdoor patio at their local restaurant and construct an indoor play zone, which would actually be the first of its kind within our community. Their proposed new stucco facades are intended to seamlessly match the existing off-white stucco, blue accents, and tan brick wainscot. The play zone roofline is proposed to step down to the existing roofline. There are also two wall signs proposed for the east and west elevations. However, a separate sign review application is required and has actually already been submitted by Lytle Signs. Staff has chosen to wait on the processing of that application until after the commission's decision this evening. So upon review, staff finds the design review to be compliant with CUNA City Code Title 5, the Comprehensive Plan, and Idaho Code 6765. With that, we'll answer any questions. Applicants are present with some. My brain just lost the word presentation for you. Thank you.
All right. Are there any questions for Jessica?
No, not at this time, no.
Okay. Then will the applicant please come forward and state your name and address for the record, please.
Hello, welcome. Glad to be here. Casey Christensen, reside in Salt Lake City, Utah. I'm the CEO of Arctic Circle Restaurants, representing the property on 710 East Avalon, CUNA, Idaho. As you see the picture in front of you, that's the exact same layout that we completed two times in Salt Lake City. We want it to be seamless. We want it to be welcome in the community as a place for families to gather. In the summertime, they can be in air conditioning. In the wintertime, they can be in heat. Chuck and Jackie Humphreys had owned and operated this location up until 2016, which they wanted to retire, and the Arctic Circle corporate location headquarters bought this and turned it into a company location rather than a franchise location. The patio has always been there and exists. Many times when we do this plan, we put that patio out there, clearing a space for potential expansion down the road, which we're petitioning here tonight. I think all the paperwork is in, and we just wanted to show you what that would look like. All the color schemes would be As you see, we open up the dining room now with an entryway into the play zone such that some people could sit inside the dining room and watch their children play in the play zone, or they could attend them with the, in the play zone area. And with that, I'll answer any questions.
Okay. Are there any questions for the applicant at this time?
No. No. I think it's good.
Thank you.
Brings up our discussion.
Yeah, I think it's a great little addition. A lot of little kids in town don't have anything like this, so it would be really nice to have that within the restaurant. I think they've got the space for it, and it looks good as they've added on to these, so I don't doubt that it'll be fairly seamless with what we got.
I think it's a good-looking addition. My only question is, do you still have free courtesy cones? Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's a great addition.
No, I think it'll be. I don't have any issues with the elevations as presented, and I think once the signage is on that south elevation, it'll. When I first saw that, I thought, man, that's a lot. But once the signage is up there, it'll break that up. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I think it's great. Mm-hmm. In that case, Mr. Chairman, I move we approve 23-06-DR design review for the Arctic Circle Play Zone with the conditions as outlined in the staff report.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Thank you. And I don't see anything else on the agenda.
I have one thing to add, Chairman, if you don't mind. For the record, Jessica Reed, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA.
Depends on what you're going to add.
Beginning May 9th, we will be live streaming all meetings via YouTube, just so you are aware. So that will be upcoming. I am not up to date yet on if there will be an opportunity to testify remotely by an applicant, but I know we will be live streaming our meetings.
Wear a clean shirt.
Wear my Groucho.
So is someone else going to know how to operate this when you leave, like on vacations? Because last week was interesting.
They're going to have to.
Okay.
Because I will be gone. Actually, no, I'll be here for that one, not the second one, so they'll have to practice with me.
Yeah, don't leave them alone on the first one. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was more Doug. He was the one trying to run it.
Mr. Chairman, I move we adjourn.
Second. I'll second that. Jim beat me.
All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.